Most of you know already that our live show and our last show will be at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on Friday, May 13th. I cannot wait to see y'all there. I am so excited to wrap up this amazing show in person with Natalie Lauren as our musical guest and so many other really amazing folks who are going to be sharing their stories and their growth and their self-care practices and their sisterhood on stage with me. So please get your tickets at the link in the description, and I hope to see you there.
Is anybody else struggling with letting go out of fear, or is it just me? I feel like a lot of us, at least within my friend group, have been talking about letting go, relinquishing control, but also it being scary as hell to do, whether it be releasing a relationship or letting go of a toxic job or divorce or separating from a partner. Like, there are so many big things happening for people that feel terrifying. Both to hold on to feels terrifying and letting go feels terrifying. So then we're stuck in this like limbo of, well, what do I do? And right now, I've been exploring the question, what do I do? A lot. Recently, I had to part ways with another friend, second friend in a year, and it really made me feel like shit. It made me feel like, wow, is it me? Is it them? Or is it just, we're no longer aligned. And if that's the case, like, is that a bad thing? There's been so much to process around, especially around releasing relationships and releasing expectations that every relationship has to be a forever thing, has to be a forever friendship. And that's not true. Even if the friendship has been 10 years and you have to be like, yo, we're not good for each other anymore. And that doesn't mean we've done something specifically like terrible or malicious. It could just mean like we are not on the same path, and that is okay. My recent friend separation was from someone I've been friends with for a number of years, and it was challenging for me to watch the friendship kind of drift even after we had a long conversation about keeping the friendship together. And I think we both tried to like go back to normal after the issues were brought to the surface, but it was hard for them and it was hard for me. And to be honest, the friendship had become hard in general for me. I wasn't invested. I didn't feel like I wanted the friendship. I didn't feel like I was growing with the friendship. I felt as though we were in completely different phases in our life, in parenthood, in our careers. And there was a lot of guilt for not wanting to be this person's friend anymore. And I didn't have the courage to say it for years. And so when things kind of came to a head this time, we tried to talk it through. We maybe got somewhere. But then it was this realization that I like things better as they are, meaning not in a close friendship. And I lost sleep over that feeling, because something I'm realizing and how I've been working through in therapy and in writing and self-reflection is like why I don't have the courage to address things head on. Instead, I kind of let things fester. And I know, like, when I talk to my therapist, the deep dive is, well, what was that like for you in childhood? So then you have to relive every time you've been silenced after speaking up, or every time you've been shunned or rejected after speaking up. And for me, that's what I had been doing. And that is not a healthy thing to do. It's a toxic trait of mine that doesn't serve me or the people I'm in relationship with. And so it's okay to be scared, but it's also important that we don't let fear stop us from communicating, from being honest. Fear can keep us stuck. It can keep us stuck in relationships we don't want to be in. It can keep us stuck in jobs we don't want to be in. It can keep us stuck in settling, when we know that we want to grow and change, but we can't because we are so scared to do that. I'm not saying that this is an easy thing to work through. It is terrifying. It is still hard for me to do. I mean, clearly. And it is important that we all learn how to not let fear keep us in positions that aren't serving us and aren't serving those around us. I had a conversation recently with a really close friend of mine about this situation, and a part of me kind of felt like the guilt comes from not wanting people to not like me. And I didn't think I was a people pleaser or a keep the peacer as much as I actually am. Because I really didn't think about in the past how much I care about people liking me. Not necessarily in my career, but absolutely in my friendships and in my relationships with people that I love. I didn't want and don't want anyone to feel like ill towards me or upset with me, because that brings back these big feelings of overwhelm and not being enough and lack of self-worth and all these things, which isn't the fault of the other person. It is completely inner work that I need to be doing in order to cultivate relationships that are healthy, whether or not I keep them close, right? So it's like, I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but say you have a friend, a very, very best friend, a very, very close friend, and you're just in different phases of your life. Your career has taken off, theirs hasn't. You are committed, if you have kids, you know, you're committed to your family, but you also are an individual and you're not super like attached to just being a wife or a partner or just being a mother. And they are all about being a wife and being a mother. Things like that are human things, human differences. And just because you guys aren't on the same path doesn't mean that the other person is bad or you're bad. It just means that we're not on the same path right now. And not being on the same path right now is getting in the way of the friendship, because we are on such different pathways, different journeys. And I think that's where my challenge has come from. In this instance, it's like, but the person didn't necessarily do anything. They didn't harm me. I didn't harm them. It's just, wow, we are very different than we were X amount of years ago. And it's been something I've really struggled with, and letting go of that friendship while also sending love to that person feels really hard, but also really good. As the friendship was really coming to an end, I had to start thinking about, do I feel better with or without them? And there had been enough space in between us not really speaking where I felt more easeful without them. And that sounds really shitty to say out loud, but it's also an extremely human thing to be like, oh, I feel a little bit lighter without that relationship, or I feel a little bit lighter without that limiting belief, or I feel a little bit lighter without that job that was holding me hostage, or whatever the case. We all have very different experiences. And it was hard for me to stomach for a while, because I knew, like, even though we tried to kind of rekindle through text messages or sending little check-ins, eventually the communication just stopped. And for me, I was the last person to communicate in one of the instances. And the friend, like, wasn't showing up as they normally would have, even though we had come to, I thought, an amicable, boundaried understanding. And when they missed, like, birthdays, or we didn't hear from them for the holidays, like, it was like, oh, like, this isn't what we agreed to. And I need to distance myself because I'm taking time and space. But there still was no communication, no healthy communication, and probably out of fear of I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want Alex to take this a certain way. And sometimes it's just, it feels easier. And I know this is my defense mechanism. Sometimes it just feels easier to not say anything, to let time, quote unquote, heal. But time doesn't heal everything. Sometimes time separates us even more, especially if we're using silence instead of communication. I'm raising my hand over here because I have done that. I have done that too. And so I'm sharing this because letting go, no matter what it looks like, is never easy. And I feel as though the pandemic has really shown me who is for me and who I am for, and who is not for me and who I am not for. And that has been eye-opening in itself because, let's be like super clear, it's not always the other person. Sometimes it's us. And while I've only had to step away from two friendships, that's a lot to me, especially from people that I really, really cared about and still wish well and still care for, just from a distance. And so it's just really hard being a human and navigating relationships. And then I started to think about, where else am I not speaking up in my life? Where else am I shrinking myself? Where else am I not being brave? And I made a list of things. I haven't been leaning into my creativity at all. I haven't been finding ways to be autonomous outside of parenthood and being a wife. I've just been shrinking and like becoming this person who's scared to do things. And perhaps the pandemic has played a role in that too, because trying to keep people safe and staying home, and I don't know, maybe that's a part of it, but I also feel like I have slipped back into some habits that I'm not very proud of. And so recently I decided, okay, I'm going to start doing things differently. So at the time of this recording, today is the 27th and it is 12:54 and I'm in my closet recording this. 130 days ago, I started walking every day. I have not missed a day. And if you follow me on Instagram, you have seen pictures of my walking journey. And that has been something that I have committed to and I will continue to do even when it's blistering cold outside, which it has been. I just dress accordingly. And the reason why I'm sharing that is because for so long, I had just stopped moving my body. I used to practice yoga. I was a dancer most of my life. I was always like active in some way and I just stopped. And not only did that reflect in how I felt physically, but it also reflected in my relationships. It also kept me like feeling super small, but then like not doing anything about it to not feel small. It was just this stagnant place. So that's something that I started doing and I have committed to doing and I will continue to do is my daily walking practice. Something else that I just started doing recently, literally yesterday, actually, so the 26th of January, was my very first ceramics pottery class. I signed up for pottery. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to just say I want to learn how to do pottery. I'm going to actually search high and low and not get discouraged when I find out every class is full. And I am going to go do a hands-on thing that doesn't include writing a book or anything related to my career at all. I'm going to do something completely different and I'm going to overcome my fear of learning something new because I'm scared to fail at it. So yesterday, me and my oldest daughter, Charlie, she's 14 now. I know some of y'all listening to this are going to gasp when you hear that she's 14. Yes, isn't that wild? We took our first pottery class and we had so much fun and it was hard. And a part of me, when I was listening to the instructor, was like, why the hell did you sign up for this? You don't know anything about this. You need to leave. The fear, the voice of fear came into my mind while I was at the place wanting to overcome my fear. I did not leave. I left. after the class was over, and I was so happy that I stayed. Charlie and I both made two bowls, and we're waiting, you know, until they cure and all that stuff. And then we go back next week, and we learn the technique of like taking all the extra clay off. And I was really proud of myself for staying and also finding a class to do something for myself and to have an experience with my oldest child one-on-one for both of us, you know, to learn new things and get out of our anxious minds. So I'm sharing this because fear can show up in so many different facets of our lives. And if we do not face it, and if we do not befriend the fear, it will suffocate us. It will keep us in relationships that aren't serving us and that we're not serving well. It will keep us uncreative. It'll keep us in toxic jobs. It'll keep us low. It'll keep us stuck. I don't want to be stuck. I'll be 33 years old this year, and there have been so many milestones over the past 5 years in particular that I'm really proud of. But there are also some things where it's like, yo, you're not getting any younger. You are blessed to be able to do things for leisure, like a pottery class. Go do the thing. Have that hard conversation. Don't hold on to things for years and then let them surface and bubble and then potentially be something that it doesn't have to be. So this is just a random talk about letting go. Clearly, there's really no rhyme or reason to this episode. But as we, you know, wind down the Hey Girl podcast, the last show is going to be, as y'all know, at the Kennedy Center in May. I'm going to start doing more of these random talks and being honest and vulnerable about the shit I need to work on and the shit that's bothering me and the stuff I need to like change about myself and about my mindset. It's really hard to want to be the best you can be, but also be terrified at the challenges that come up when you are trying to be your best. And I know for me personally, it's a work in progress, a work in practice to face the fear, even if that means it's uncomfortable or it's painful. And even if that means I'm being stretched and taught by the universe, by God, like what I need to hear and see. And so I don't know who may needed to hear this, but you're not alone. If your relationships are shifting and changing, you are not alone. If your fear is becoming so loud that you are stuck in patterns and stuck in a life that you're not happy with, you're not alone. What I will say is that when you are ready to shift those patterns and that fear-based mind, you will do it. And it may be challenging. And I'm not saying this from a place of like, oh, it's easy for everyone. It's not easy, y'all. I have depression. I have anxiety. I have talked to you guys about being on medication and like being in therapy and trying to find my equilibrium and my balance in life. So this isn't coming from a place of, oh, just face the fear and it'll all go away and it'll all be better. No, the shit is hard. It will always be hard. And that's part of life. I have been doing a lot more meditation and a lot more breath work and thinking about the Buddhist saying, which is something along the lines of to live is to suffer. And when I first heard that, I was like, well, that's some trash. But it's the truth. It is the truth that to live is to suffer. And that does not mean you give up living. That does not mean you stop going. What it does mean is you look at your suffering, you look at your pain, you look at those lost relationships, you look at why you're staying in patterns and cycles and connections that aren't serving you. You look at it, you face it, even if you feel like I am suffering doing this, and you find a new path, a new way to rise up and experience the ease and joy that is on the other side of suffering. It's an absolute both and. Yes, we can be in a moment of suffering and grief. And also, yes, we can be in a moment of gratitude and emotional safety and self-love, right? But it's hard. This is not easy work. Soul work is not easy. Relationships are not easy. Deciding I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do and sticking with it, even if that means I have to step away from that person. I have to step away from that job and look for a new one. I have to step away from that marriage. I have to step away from that partner who just isn't growing how I'm growing. And that doesn't mean they're bad. And that doesn't mean that job is like the worst job ever. Somebody may be grateful to have that job, but maybe it's just not for you. And so that's it, really. Your girl has been going through changes. And I know that I'm not the only one. So I just wanted to share this message from inside of my closet and make sure that you know if you're walking through relationship challenges, feeling stuck in life, lack of creativity, you're not the only one, and that we can make a way out of no way, or we can make a new way out of what is not working. And so figuring out what works for us, what's next for us, it's an inside job, and we're gonna be all right. Okay, y'all, take care.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.
The Hey Girl podcast is produced by Wayne Bertram and me, Alex L.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.